I'm always so impressed by the music. It does the service and I can go home. So every Sunday, we do this ritual lighting of the candles, and this week, of course, we're honoring Judaism. The one I think we have the most difficulty honoring is Christianity, because some of us have some not too good of memories of how we grew up and what we were exposed to. I know going to daily mass with my grandmother was not one of my favorite things, and I had to be very creative when I was 8 years old to try to find something to confess in confession. But then as I got older, I knew he knew who I was, and I didn't like going to confession at all because I had plenty to share. So, but I'm getting a little bit off track. All of us have things from the former faith, that the former churches we attended, that we enjoy, that we enjoyed. I enjoyed the rituals. I enjoyed Christmas. I enjoyed singing in the choir. I enjoyed all of those things. And to me, it gave me a path to follow. It helped me to understand where I needed to go and what I needed to do, because at home I didn't get a lot of instruction. And so it was very important to me to have that background. And I enjoyed Christmas because I enjoyed the nativity scene and the angels and the three wise men. How wise are you to set off across the country for however long it took them to get to where they were going? I don't know. I enjoyed the Christmas caroling, and there was a lot of other things about the Christmas season that I enjoyed that had nothing to do with church. I liked the presents, didn't you? I liked the food. You know, when else do you get divinity and fudge? Right? I liked the food. I liked the decorations and the songs and the stories. And there were all kinds of things about Christmas that I really liked. I liked the hay rides, and I liked to go Christmas caroling all bundled up so we could come back and have hot chocolate and cookies. And I liked the snowman. I liked the snowman. And there's something so very magical and special about this time of year that we seem to share with one another, isn't there? There's something magical that causes us to let our hearts be more open, to be more compassionate, to be more giving, to be more loving and caring. It's almost like magic how that happens. And I think it's because not only individually, but collectively, we are moving now out of the darkness at solstice and coming back into the light. And that brings us joy, doesn't it? And we get to set aside some of that heaviness that we've carried through us with us throughout the year. We get to set some of that aside because we're moving into the light, which brings me to today's topic. Today I'm going to talk about Frosty the Snowman. Sounds like a pretty good topic for a sermon, doesn't it? How many of us don't smile at Frosty the Snowman, who was a jolly soul with the corncob pipe and a button nose? Well, the story goes that the children went out one day when it had snowed, and they made these two big snowballs, and they put them together, and then they made a smaller one, and somebody went home and got some coal, and somebody else went home and got a button for his nose, and somebody brought a corncob pipe and a red scarf. But the hat was an issue. They tried several different kinds of hats on, and none of them seemed to really do it for them. And all of a sudden, the wind picked up, and like magic, just like magic, the shiny top hat came rolling to their feet. And so they picked it up and they put it on his head, and by golly, it really was magic, because he started to talk. He started to talk, and he played with them, and he played with them, and he took them sledding, and he took them ice skating, and he played outside, and they were never cold when they were with him. They were never cold. But then one day it warmed up. And they headed into town, and they had to stop for the policeman, and he kept on going, and then couldn't find him anymore. And the policeman said, "Don't you worry, he'll be back again one day. He'll be back again one day." When you think about it and you hear the song, we know that Frosty was a very joy-filled person, wasn't he? A very joy-filled being. He had a zest for living. He had an enthusiasm for living in the moment. And so Frosty stands for joy. He stands for the joy and the love for living. The joy of laughter. The joy of seeing the children play. Pretty much, Frosty is symbolic of joy, isn't he? And so that's why whenever we hear the story or the song of Frosty, we smile. But you know, he stands for way more than that. You know, I taught Sunday school for a lot of years, and I think the kids' books all have a symbolic meaning. And I want you to think about what else Frosty stands for. He stands for incarnation. He stands for birthing. He stands for becoming. And isn't that what we want to do? The traditional Christmas stories that we hear are from Matthew and Luke, and they're the story of this miraculous birth and a baby in a manger and the wise men coming and all of this beautiful historical legend. But you'll notice in the book of John, it doesn't say anything about the nativity scene. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and it became flesh, and it dwelt among them. It came to life one day. Yeah, it came to life one day, and it will come back again someday. And that day is today. That day is every day. That day is every day that we allow the Christ consciousness to birth within us. And that's truly the symbology of Christmas. Allowing this season is allowing the Christ consciousness to incarnate or unfold within each one of us. And Frosty the Snowman story is telling us that that can be a joyful experience. It doesn't have to be a struggle. We can have fun with life. It doesn't have to be a silk hat or a ball cap or a stocking hat. And it doesn't have to be boots. It could be sandals, or you could even be barefoot. And you can still have your life filled with joy. We are here on this earth to experience life. And why not experience it joyfully? William Perkey says, you've got to dance like there's no one watching. Love like you'll never be hurt. Sing like there's nobody listening, and live like it's heaven on earth. In other words, what we can do is we can spend this lifetime happy. We can spend this lifetime enjoying life, being healthy and prosperous. We can spend this lifetime having a good time while we're here. We don't have to suffer because it's dependent upon our state of consciousness. We, you and I, each one of us, can create heaven on earth. Ernest Holmes in Science of Mind on page 124 says, we arrive at a consciousness of unity only in such degree as we see that what we are looking for, we are looking with and looking at. Heaven is lost merely for the lack of perception of harmony. Hell is the phantom abode of our morbid imagination. Heaven and hell are states of consciousness. And further, he says on page 147, when we return to the world which is perfect, when we return to the world which is perfect, there will be something there that will turn to us. So when we turn and we see that perfection, that is going to be mirrored back to us. We shall behold a new heaven and a new earth, not in some far-off place, but right here and right now. And that's what happens when we understand that heaven on earth is a possibility. It's available to each and every one of us. It has to do with our consciousness. And so what we need to do is to strive for harmony in our lives. And how do we do that? Well, one of the ways we do that is by communing with Spirit, isn't it? By getting quiet, going within, communing with Spirit, with loving and praying and studying and learning and prayer and meditation, and we get to grow in consciousness. This time of year, we get to embrace life with a childlike wonder. Isn't there something in the Christmas season and the holiday season that touches that child within you that's kind of buried the rest of the year? You know, there's something about the candy canes and the lights. Remember when you're those of you who had little kids and the kids were little and you'd be driving and they just loved to see the lights. Look at the lights. I think that was one of the first words one of my kids learned was lights. Look at the lights. Look at the lights. They love the lights. And that's very symbolic because each one of us has a light within us if we are willing to let it shine. To become again as little children. Isn't that what Jesus told us? In order to enter the kingdom of heaven, we would need to become again as little children. To embrace life with joy is what I think he was talking about. To embrace life with joy, to live in harmony. How great is that? How great is that to be able to live in heaven on earth? So Frosty had three specific lessons that can bring us joy today, and it can bring us joy tomorrow, and it can bring us joy next week and next year. And the first one is, release your worries and your focus on the past. Focus on today, because today is the only day you've got. It's the only day you really have. If you dwell on the past, you're missing the joy and the experience of this moment, because you can't see what's in front of you if you're looking behind you, right? The past is over, and it's done. And even if you think you made some mistakes, it was good. It was either good, or as some practitioner student told me, it was a good lesson, one of the two. Right? It was either good or it was a good lesson, and it's over. And you get to learn from those experiences, and you get to move on. And the future, you know, it's great to have goals. It's really great to have goals and say, this is what I'm going to do in the future. But if you fixate on that and something doesn't happen the way you expected it to, you've cut yourself off from your good that could have come from so many different avenues when you fixate on the future. It's important to remember there's no guarantee tomorrow's even going to come. Some of us have firsthand experience of that. There is no guarantee that there's going to be a tomorrow. And so we can only focus on now and what we have now. And Ernest Holmes in The Science of Mind said, I contend with no one, argue with no one, and am filled with wonderful peace and light. There is no uncertainty about my future, and no fear as a result of my past. I live in the eternal now, which is filled with good alone. Happiness and wholeness fill my entire being with the realization of love and perfection. In this quotation, Ernest Holmes is talking about what I've been talking about, heaven on earth. He's talking about our state of consciousness here. He's talking about happiness and wholeness right here and right now. Let go of the past. Let go of the future. Live in the eternal now, because that's all you've got. It's all you've got. We talk in this movement about a world that works for everyone. But in order to create a world that works for everyone, first of all, you have to create a world that works for you, don't you? You know, each one of us gets to individually create what works for us. And the second lesson of Frosty is recognize your source. It's not in your hat. But it is within you. Science of Mind, again, page 446. Spiritual experience is a fact. Spirituality may be defined as an atmosphere of good, the realization of God. It cannot, it does not, borrow its light from another, no matter how great or noble that other may be. It springs from within, coming from that never-failing fountain of life, which quenches every thirst, whose source is in eternity, the wellspring of self-existence. It is a revelation of the self to the self, putting one back on the track of his own self-dependence on spirit, his at-one-ment with reality. Every one of us Every one of us gets to experience that at-one-ment with the divine. We get to experience that presence of God within us. When we go within, we can't put it into words, can we? It's difficult to express, but it's not too hard to feel. We can feel it. And we get to each one of us experience it in our own unique way. There is no specific way you have to be spiritual. Yeah, thank God. Thank God, that's true. Each one of us is unique, and each one of us has our own unique expression of that divine experience. Each one of us gets to commune with the divine in our own special way. And as we do that, we grow that spirituality. And third, Frosty's third lesson is reaffirm joy. No matter what the appearance of the moment, reaffirm joy. Live it. Embrace it. Be it. Be joy. Be joy-filled. Science of Mind says, declare every day that no mistakes have been made. No mistakes have been made. None are being made, and none can be made. Declare there is one supreme intelligence which governs, guides, and guards. Tells me what to do, when to act, and how to act. Having done this in perfect faith, act with perfect assurance. Everything necessary to full and complete expression of the boundless experience of joy is mine now. Know this. See this. Feel this. Be this. Oh, so I'd like you to repeat that with me. Everything necessary. To full and complete expression. Of the boundless experience of joy. Is mine now. And so it is. Thank you. Amen and amen. We know that we cannot be separated from our good. Sometimes we don't recognize our good because we're not looking in the right direction. But we can never, ever be separated from our good. Everything necessary to experience joy is ours. We know that there is nothing outside of God. There's God and nothing else. And it's up to us to express it because we are one with it. We are one with that divine presence. And so Couet, who is a French psychologist, is said to have helped people cure themselves by repeating the phrase, every day in every way, I am getting better and better. I bet you've all heard that phrase, right? He had people repeat it 20 times a day or more. It's called optimistic auto-suggestion. Every day in every way, I'm getting better and better. I would like to suggest that the affirmation we just did could be repeated 20 times every day, everything necessary to full and complete expression of the boundless experience of joy is mine now. If we repeated that 20 times a day, we could watch it manifest in our lives. And you know, and guess what? The affirmation card you're going to get today, that's what's on it. Sneaky, yeah. So you can take that home and you can try that out and see. Because what happens is most of us start out with really good intentions and we do the first 3 or 4. We might even do 20 for the first day or two. And then we kind of let it lapse and then we say, well, it didn't work. Right? It didn't work. But what I'm challenging you to do today, that's your homework, is to take this card home and repeat it 20 times a day for 21 days and watch the joy expressing in your life. Watch it abound. Yeah. And then don't let life intervene and forget. That's why we have the little card as a reminder for you to repeat it 20 times a day. And so also to bring out our child, left some coloring book pages for you on the back table to pick up. It's pictures of Frosty the Snowman, because Frosty the Snowman will remind you to live in joy. And one of our practitioners told me it doesn't matter anymore whether you color it within the lines or not. You know, it doesn't matter if you color. We can color outside the lines if we want to, but I would suggest you take one with you when you leave. And just for fun, some people don't like to do it, but just for fun, to whose name we won't mention, Dawn. But just for fun, take it home and try it and just feel the joy of getting in touch with that child within. You know, there's just something about doing things you did as a child that help you to reconnect with that connection that you've always had with the divine. You know, you've always had it. Sometimes we forget it. So what I'd like to ask you to do is pick up one of those coloring book pages. I'd like to ask you to take that card that you get home with you, and that's your homework, and do it 20 times a day for 21 days. And then, you know, report back if you see joy manifesting in your life, right? Okay, so let's pray.